home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi. Big
Deals. Looking for more ways to save money? Aren't we all? Jenny here. Shop your local Big Deals online store. You'll find gift certificates to all kinds of local businesses, places where you already shop, restaurants you already love, and great local entertainment. The best part? All of these gift certificates are on sale at discounted prices. Get them for yourself or buy them as a gift. Shop and save. You'll be glad you did.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Looking for free local news that actually feels local? From breaking news and weather alerts to sports, community events, obituaries, photos, and more, your free hometown connection is just a click away with Clinton County, Boone County, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Whether you're catching up from your phone at work, your tablet at home, or scrolling on the go, our three daily news websites keep you connected to the stories happening where you live. Check out the community calendars, local sports coverage, Hoosierland TV, WILO archives, features, and even fun games like crosswords and Sudoku. Plus, with updated features and easy navigation, finding the information you need has never been easier. And did I mention? It's free. Local news, local sports, local people. Updated every day. Visit ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com today.
Looking for an enclosed trailer that works as hard as you do? Check out the Homesteader lineup at TC Trailers. Perfect for moving, camping gear, or hauling mowers and motorcycles, a car hauler, or race trailer. Homesteader trailers deliver quality at a great price. Choose the Challenger with its flat front and rounded roof, or the Intrepid featuring a sleek V-nose design. Find your perfect trailer at TC Trailers, just east of Frankfort, or online at tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on, Big O Tires.
Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierlandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Stoops Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoops, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi.
We do appreciate you listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. We'll talk about the Frankfort Hot Dog Festival coming up, but first we have another great guest with us for your Friday, and it's meteorologist Chad Evans. Good morning, Chad. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here. I'm doing well this morning. Thank you.
Oh, you know, we have a big festival happening this weekend in Frankfort, so give me some good news.
Well, the good news is, you know, first of all, Saturday's fine. Most of Sunday's okay, but we got to watch, like, later Sunday and into Sunday evening, we may get storms. So hopefully we can actually squeeze Saturday just fine, which I think we will, and then hopefully we can just get all of Sunday in before it does storm, because it is going to get stormy, like late weekend and then early next week. We may have some more severe weather in the area once again.
All right. Well, let's go back and start a little bit closer to the beginning and talk about some other things first.
Yeah, let's go back to listeners who may not know who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What sparked your passion to become a meteorologist?
Yeah, you know, I think growing up in Indiana, and, you know, I grew up in an area that, you know, was a big farming area in southwest part of the state. The wide open spaces, you just, when you grow up in the country and you grow up around farming and you're around those open spaces and around nature and ag every day, your whole world revolves around weather. And you can literally walk outside and you got this open sky all around you to observe every single day. And I think it's a very Midwestern thing. So many people have an interest in weather. And for me, it started around 7 years old. It was just the storms, the wind storms, the snow storms, and everything that we got was really fascinating to me. So once it started at that age, I was sold on it. But the one thing that frightened me about weather was the math involved in it, the math and the chemistry and the physics. So at first, I mean, my second big interest was not only like plants and science, but I really liked agriculture and agronomy. So I ended up starting in agronomy on like a Purdue transfer program. And once I got into agronomy, I had a seed internship. I found, though, that I was looking at the sky even more than I was crops part of the time. So then I thought, you know what, I could integrate my love of agriculture and weather together and find a career that way. So that's kind of how it all started. And, you know, I've done weather for, what, was it 23, 24 years now, been doing weather.
Yeah, I know a lot of people around here. Of course, I come from a farming background as well, so does Cindy. And one of the things that I love about watching your forecast and everything was the fact that you always incorporate the crops and what everybody is out there, you know, is there a chance of hail when the crops are in the ground? Or yeah, exactly. I mean, you've always been that way. So it's kind of not surprising that you have that agronomy background as well.
Oh yeah. I you know, and to this day, farmers and just the ag community mean so much to me. I think of them every single day. And, you know, when you've got the millions of dollars on the line, every decision counts. And it can mean the difference between a really good yield and a really bad yield. And that I always have that in mind every day, not only with row crop, but also hay. I've had a lot of questions about hay this year because, you know, last year we had so many days where it was just so humid and the dew points were so high, the hay just wasn't drying out. Well, one thing I've been trying to do this summer is have more hay forecasts that have really helped people get hay cut and raked. And so that's been really helpful as well, because there's a lot of specialty crops that we do you don't even think about. You know, tomatoes over towards Tipton and Madison County. I know where I grew up, watermelons and cantaloupes were a big deal. I know they grow them on the Weehaw Plains here in Tippecanoe County. And then you have corn, soybeans, wheat, you name it. So covering all aspects of ag is what I really, really like to do.
Again, our guest is meteorologist Chad Evans on Party Line here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. I just have to ask, do you feel like weather forecasters get a bad rap? You know, if it's really not a nice day, or maybe we're forecasted to get a storm, but it either goes north or south of us. And so do you feel like you guys get a bad rap occasionally?
Well, sometimes we do, but you know what? It's kind of deserved because we're down on us, and we always give our best. You know, I give 100. I mean, I put my whole heart and soul into everything that I do because I love it so much, and I want to serve the community. But you know, I think if there is a bad rap, it's not personal, and a lot of it's just frustration that, you know, if you make decisions based on the fact that you're getting 6 inches of snow, thing, you know, that's a significant not only economic impact, but, you know, if you're a kid and you were to be out of school, that's a really huge disappointment. So, They're disappointing kids, you know? And it's hard for parents, too, to make. So what I'm trying to do is kind of take away some of that stress in making those decisions and get it right every time, ideally, if I can.
What's your percentage cutoff in your mind where you're like, yes, we're going to have showers? So in your mind, is it going to be like 60%, 70%? Where's your cutoff in your mind to be like, yep, this is what's happening?
I think if it's more than 50%, you know, it's, for me, it's how you interpret the weather and how you communicate it. There will be days that, just the other night this happened. I remember I made this comment. I'm like, okay, we've got the risk of severe weather. It's slight, marginal is slight. But I said, you know what? Part of the area is not going to get anything. And that's what ended up happening. We had a cluster of storms in our northeast counties because I cover from Fulton all the way down to Vermilion. And then I go from Tipton all the way to Newton County. There's a huge difference in weather over the area. So I think we communicate well. If there is uncertainty, we have to communicate that. And if what is the uncertainty? Is the uncertainty lying in the fact that, well, part of the snow may up on the way down and it cuts our totals? Or does the thing shift and is the uncertainty thinking, you know, we're going to get a lot, we may get a lot more? So that's the biggest part is how you word it and make sure you're communicating it correctly.
Well, you do bring up a valid point because you're trying to give a forecast for a majority of people when the fact of the matter is the folks that maybe live up on the lake in Monticello are going to have different weather than the same people who are just maybe 30 yeah. minutes away in Rossville or something. So I got, you're right. It's just not quite comparing apples to apples all the time, is it?
No, not at all. And I always tell people, that I've had some requests, from Illinois and some other counties, like, well, will you add us to your forecast area? And I said, I really truly local. I don't want to do a statewide weather. I don't want to do a Midwest weather. I serve the people of Clinton and Tippecanoe and Boone and Carroll and White and Benton counties and Warren County and Fountain. I want to keep it very, very locally focused because I think in doing that, you can provide greater detail. And if you're from here and you've been here a while, you kind of get an idea of the weather patterns too. There's some local idiosyncrasies that go on with the weather. But especially in summer and winter, storm tracks, snowstorm tracks, and I think if you just focus local, you're better able to pinpoint those things.
Meteorologist Chad Evans is our guest on Party Line today.
Well, and talking about tracking the forecast and being able to, put together the computer models and everything, along with your experience as well, talk about the technology that you use and just kind of walk us through a day of forecasting for you.
Yeah, the Doppler radar was a big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, huge. That was a game changer. Once we got that, and especially once we got this product called correlation coefficient with Doppler radar, we can see debris. We know there's a tornado on the ground. Actually, debris ball in the storm. That's been huge.
So,
I think for me, a lot of my days have not changed after leaving television. I'm just doing weather in a different way. As a matter of fact, I think I work more now than I ever did in TV because I cover every shift.
Mm.
So, I do a 6 a.m. forecast, but that'll take you a couple of hours to get done. I'll do an afternoon forecast here. Maybe I'll do an evening review. You got to sleep at some point. But the only thing that's changed, well, one, I'm doing more forecasts. I'm working more. But also the only other thing that's changed is I just don't have a newsroom. That's the only thing that's changed. I mean, I have a home studio and all the same data I'm looking at every single day, and that data includes satellite imagery and weather models from all over the world. And a lot of what I do as a forecaster, because I forecast far out, because I think as a farmer, you've got to know what's coming way far out. So I use a lot of what we call analog forecasting, and what I'll do is I'll take our current weather pattern or what I think is going to happen over the next 2-3 weeks, and then I'll, you know, I can go back 100 years, and I'll see how it compares to patterns, and I can get a pretty good judgment of what's going to occur, you know, 2-3 weeks out, because we get a pretty good idea of what's going to happen through the winter and into the next spring, and we got a pretty good idea of what's going to happen into August. And I've always said that forecasting weather is like if you take the Purdue basketball team and you've got to forecast who's going to be the leading scorer, what their record is going to be, and how far they're going to make it in the NCAA tournament. You kind of have an idea if you know the talent of each player and you can mathematically rank each player. If you know that, you have a pretty good idea of what's going to transpire down the road. Weather's the same way.
Ooh, that was a great analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Purdue going to make it to the Sweet 16 this year? Just tell me that.
Oh, I got to look at the mathematics of it, and go. I'll get back to you.
That's fair.
We hope.
I had a lot of fun with this because I knew you were coming on, and I know I have spoken with you before when we've had severe weather, and you've come on and you've helped with the forecast and stuff over the years, but. I went to the coffee shop, and I think it's funny that you bring up farmers and all of that, but I went to the coffee shop, and I just asked a lot of the guys sitting there, what would you ask Chad if you had the opportunity?
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
I hope you're sitting down.
I found it interesting that, because I told him, I said, now, I don't want the obvious, you know. I want you to really think about this, and so... It was a lot of fun with these guys sitting with puzzled looks on their faces. One question that I did have from one of the grandchildren that was sitting there was, what's one of the strangest or funniest weather questions that you've ever been asked?
Oh, gosh, that's a great one. The strangest.
And Lord knows, I mean, some of these may be there.
A lot of the places I go, you know, I'll speak to summer camps. I speak to a lot of groups. I speak to a lot of schools. And a lot of times people ask me, especially kids, well, two questions. One, did you play basketball and what your shoe size is? Because I'm a taller guy. And they always say you're taller in person than what I saw on TV or what I see on YouTube and Facebook. So I think my shoe size, like, did you play basketball? I'm like, well, yeah, I did. Well, what position did you play? So it's not a strange question per se, but I get that question a lot when I go out. And I tell them, I'm like, yes, I'm 6'4", or 6'4½", but I said... I would be a point guard if I played D1 basketball, or if I ever would have. So, you know, I would, they made me a center when I was back in school. But I had 58 people in my senior class, so, you know, they had to make me a center at that height. But that's probably the one that I'm like, oh, okay, I got that one again. Okay, yeah.
One of the guys mentioned the wildfires that... And we've seen this over the years. It does seem like it's a lot worse now over the last 4 or 5 years than what we've seen in past. But besides the air quality, they were wondering, does that kind of thing with the heat and, of course, the smoke entering the atmosphere, does that affect weather?
It does. There are several ways it does. And one is it can put what we call a cap and prevent a lot of storm development. Now, the reason being is when the sun hits that layer of air will warm up. You know, the particulates in that smoke will absorb heat because they're darker. But also, that layer will dry out. I mean, when we see Saharan smoke come off West Africa and move into the Caribbean, that dust layer dries the atmosphere out, and you don't get the tropical development. smoke can work in a similar way, drying out that layer, but also putting a lid on or a warm, dry layer where it'll heat up at the ground level, and it's really oppressive and boiling, and that air wants to rise, but once it gets into that smoky air, it can't really rise as much anymore because the air is warm and dry at that point. So it can affect, actually, your storm coverage, your storm intensity, and storm development. There have been studies done that point towards if the smoke is located in the really low levels and it's not very high up, it can increase tornado risk. And that's kind of what they're trying to figure out, they being weather and climate scientists, that it can elevate tornado risk if it's in the sweet spot, if that smoke is focused in the low levels. So that's another area of research. You know, in 2011, there is a theory, and a study was done, and there was some correlation to it, that there were there was a lot of smoke from the Central American fires burning in April 2011 that contributed to the big tornado outbreak in the southern U.S., especially in Alabama. So I think there are two ways that could impact the weather. And of course, it can lower your temperature a little bit. I mean, if the smoke is thick enough, it'll cut your daily high by 4 degrees, 5 degrees for that matter. A lot of times it's 3 or 4, but if it's thick enough, it'll really cut your daily high. And then at night, if you've got a thick smoke layer, why, it's going to make your nighttime low temperature a little bit higher. And if you've got a lot of smoke at ground level, you know, it's quite possible that your ground level dries out a little bit too. So a lot of ways that it can impact you.
And kind of hand in hand with that, a lot of these billionaire companies now are, let's face it, shooting off in rockets and putting satellites into the atmosphere several times a year. Whereas used to, back in the day, it was NASA who would shoot one off once a year many years. How does that affect the atmosphere and our weather with that being more of a constant nowadays?
Yeah, you know, anytime you're adding those emissions, you're going to have an impact. And it may be emissions that absorb heat. A lot of them absorb heat. But some, especially sooty, dark particulates, those will absorb a lot of heat. Now, if you've got a lot of light-colored particulates, they will reflect heat away. Another thing is, you bring up a great point with satellites, but also rockets, aircraft. You know, there was a big study done back, when we had 9/11, when all the planes were grounded. And they found that the nighttime low temperatures when all those planes were grounded actually greatly dropped over the U.S. because we were not putting jet exhaust into the atmosphere producing these contrails, these jet trails you see. And those jet trails oftentimes produce high clouds, which keep heat in at night. So there was a significant drop in the temperature at night when you just take away all of the aircraft and you ground everything. So a lot of it's just warming that occurs with what you're putting in into the atmosphere.
I think one of the things that might affect farmers especially is El Nino and La Nina.
Yes.
Now talk about the difference between those two and kind of how it affects us here in the United States, and then particularly here at home.
Yeah, what's interesting about El Nino and La Nina, they're the opposite of each other, but there are about three subtypes of El Nino and three subtypes of La Nina, and it all has to do with where the cooling and the warming water in the equatorial Pacific is located. Now, for an El Nino, the eastern equatorial Pacific will get warmer than normal, and typically, the North Pacific will compensate and get colder than normal. La Nina, it's the opposite. It's colder than normal in the eastern equatorial Pacific. The North Pacific is warmer. And then you go to the western equatorial Pacific, it's going to be the opposite. So it's going to be warmer than normal. So warmer than normal west, colder than normal east with a La Nina. It's colder than normal west, and it's warmer than normal east with an El Nino. But the thing is, there are about three subtypes. There's the traditional, there is the hybrid, and then there's something called a Madoki. And, for example, a Madoki El Nino is where the warming is more in the central part of the Pacific rather than the far eastern part of the Pacific. But they all have impacts on our weather. Madoki El Ninos tend to be a little bit cooler here and a little bit wetter than a traditional El Nino. And one thing to remember about El Nino and La Nina, you know, they do have big impacts on our weather, but it depends on their strength. But also, what else is going on in the world? You know, when I think of a winter forecast, for example, how many players are on the team? And what I mean by that is you've got to think of what governs a winter in our area or a summer. It's governed by, for example, like a Purdue basketball team. So which player on the Purdue basketball team is going to be the breakout star of any given season? You know, for a while, you know, hey, it was Zach Edey. You know, Braden Smith was huge. And then you had Fletcher Lawyer that was up there as well. Well, who's going to be the breakout star this season? Well, you got to think about that from a weather standpoint. So who's going to govern our weather for farmers this fall, this winter, next spring, next summer? We know that El Nino is a main player, but you've got other players that are going to support the role. Like, you know, let's say that Braden was El Nino and Fletch would be the North Atlantic Oscillation. And then you've got other players in the world that will govern our weather, that determine whether, hey, I've got 300 bushel corn or I've got 120 bushel corn. You know, what's my yield going to be? And how much am I going to have to spray, you know, for fungus and whatnot, for rust and whatnot? So I think that how big of an impact El Nino or La Nina has is also based on what other players you have. I always say, my daughter plays AAU basketball, and she and her friend Audrey, I say, you guys are like Jordan and Pippen out there. You have a synergy together, because Hadley, my daughter, she knows how to when to pass that ball into Audrey. Audrey's a center, my daughter's a point guard, and they have a synergy. Well, El Nino and a lot of other of these, what I call teleconnections, they have a synergy. So when, you know, the MJO and the El Nino working together, you know, could bring us a record warm December. But if the MJO is in a different phase, well, El Nino doesn't have the influence. You know what I mean? So those are things that I'm looking at. That's a very long-winded answer, but that's the main answer.
Well, I get it. I mean, there's so many different factors that factors into things. So
we did just have a caller, and they're wondering if you could tell us what our weather is going to be kind of from this part of the year on out. What are you seeing as we kind of finish out the year and head into winter?
Oh, I love that question. This is a great one. So I got to think in my brain, okay, I got to consolidate this one, because these weather guys, we'll talk about weather for 45 minutes. So right now it's cooler and less humid. We've gotten rid of the smoke for a while. It is going to, so I'll just start from the short term and then go all the way on. It does heat up into the weekend. It is going to get humid and muggy. I mean, muggy to even oppressive Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We've got to watch for severe weather late Sunday, Sunday evening, Monday, and Tuesday. I do not know the exact timing of severe storms during that time period, but there is going to be severe weather risk, and it's going to be these complexes of storms that come in out of Iowa, and they're lines of storms. They're not supercells. They're not tornado necessarily making storms. These are the damaging straight line wind events that come in from the northwest. So we've got to watch those for about 3 days. Then it does get a little cooler and less humid again. And I really think as we end July and move into early August, and right at the there is not going to be a lot of big heat during that time frame. You know, once we get this oppressive weather done, where we get, you know, into the low 90s early next week and get this severe weather through and some locally heavy rainfall, yes, farmers, we're going to have some places that get more than 2.5 inches of the rain early. We have a dry stretch where it's just not raining too much, and it's not overly hot. Now, we get to mid-August. Probably after the midpoint of August, there is a little period there where it is stormy again, and it's raining a lot, and it's muggy to oppressive. Then it gets cooler again, less humid. But one thing I have noticed is there is a tendency for a late season, one last hurrah, one last little burp of well into the 90s, like a 95-degree day sort of thing, very into August and early September. So we could have a little stretch of heat then. And then the trend is it's just going to get cooler and I make it a little wetter towards mid-September. Now, my thought process here is, okay, mid-September to early October is just coolish and wetter. But the trend is for latter October and into November for it to be warm and dry. And I really think December is going to be warm and drier than normal. Now, here's the thing about these El Nino, these Super Nino Decembers. A lot of them are near record warm, and I think we've got a good shot at having one of the warmest Decembers on record. Now, even though I say drier than normal, we may sneak in some unseasonable severe weather. I mean, the MO here. Now, January, warmer than normal. I think December and January, they're warmer than normal. The rainfall's below normal. The snowfall's below normal. Doesn't mean it's not going to snow and doesn't mean it's not going to get cold. But brutal cold, I'm just not seeing it. Major snowstorm, you know, big snows, not seeing it. You know, last year, winter started early last year. We were getting decent snow in November. It started in mid-November. We had a stretch well into December where it was snowing, it was cold. Not seeing that this year. And even for February, I think it's going to be warmer than normal. We may get a little more in the way of rainfall. The snowfall's below normal. And probably our first decent snow we're going to get is going to be in January. It's not going to be December. We're going to have to wait a while. It'll be after New Year's.
So no white Christmas is what you're telling me.
Yeah, no white Christmas this year. I really don't see that happening at all.
Bubble burster.
I know. I got to bring the bad news.
At least you're honest. I mean, you're not giving us stuff we want to hear, but you're giving us the truth, right?
Yeah, and one of the questions I had was, can he tell us when the next $1 million rain's going to come? And I think you pretty well gave him that idea that there's a good possibility that we might see some of that throughout the growing season. So,
Chad, this has been a ton of fun. Can we have you back on?
Oh, my goodness, yes, please.
I didn't even get to some of my other questions. I had three other questions I wanted to ask you. I didn't even get to those today. So I hope we can have you back on.
You guys reach out anytime. I love you all. I love the people like Clinton County and Boone County and all of my growers out there. I appreciate every one of you, and it means the world to me to get to talk with everybody today.
Meteorologist to Chad Evans. Chad, how can they follow you? Give us all those locations so people can check you out.
Okay, Chad Evans Weather. I'm on Facebook, YouTube. I got Substack, which you can subscribe to. I'm going to be, I do severe weather that goes on Facebook when we have, when it's hitting the fan and we're getting warnings. I'm on Facebook. I will be on YouTube with that soon. And I have a lot of features on Substack, a lot of long-range forecasting, and I really like to tailor it to agriculture. So everybody check that out.
Yeah, one of your features that I really like is where you talk about the native plants.
Oh, yes.
See, we didn't get to that. Okay, yeah. We're going to have you back. We got to talk definitely. About all that, too.
Yes, please do that. Yes, indeed.
All right, meteorologist Chad Evans, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, this has been great. Thank you both.
Take care. You. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye now. All right. Thank you to Chad Evans. By the way, Hot Dog Festival kicks off here officially at 11 o'clock today. So the Hot Dog Let's Sizzle and Roll Hot Dog Trail will be open at 11 o'clock today. You can start getting your hot dogs. The Doc Dogs kick off at 11. There's all kinds of things coming. I got to tell you, Kim Stevens has put together, there's something every 30 minutes. And so there's a plan to all of this. There's chainsaw carving today. There is a big airwave with dogs. There's a dinosaur show. There's the Dinosaur Museum and mini golf. The beer garden will be open today beginning at 5 o'clock. The bank or the bands tonight, Heart to Heartbreakers will take the Farmers Bank Performance Center stage, and then that's at 6 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, Rick Knapp. At 8:30, Isaac Rudd, and at 9 o'clock, Crush, the Bon Jovi Experience. There are two stages. There's the Indiana Kitchen stage, and there's the Farmers Bank Performance Center stage. So depending on what kind of music you like to hear, there is a couple of different stages that you can check those out. Tomorrow morning begins bright and early with the Coach Kids Breakfast and Cornhole Tournament. So don't forget to check that out and get, and you got to participate in the Cornhole Tournament. It's a lot of fun, and it's all for a great cause. So come and get your breakfast tomorrow morning as well. There's the We Care Color Bun Run. They're having that. There is Over the Top Street Tours Street Vaulting. There's a lot of Doxy Derby things and things for the dogs. There's more chainsaw carving. There's more Dinosaur Museum and Mini Golf. I mean, there's something happening. There's the Kids Zone. I mean, there's just something for everybody. The Puppy Park is going to be open as well over there. I could just go on. Family Magic Shows, Doxy Ninja Warrior Contest. The Frankfort High School Band will be performing. That's tomorrow at 12:15. Susan Rook, a local author here with her children's book. She'll be at the Frankfort Community Public Library. Then there's also there's Frank Harness Karate tomorrow. There is, okay, let me get to the shows tomorrow evening because I don't want you to miss out on those. Sheltered Reality, I think, is our first show Saturday night. That's at the Indiana Kitchen stage. That, by the way, is on Clinton Street, just so you know. There's WCWO Wrestling. That's on Clinton Street. Then on the Farmers Bank, it's technically not the Farmers Bank, but the sign still says the Farmers Bank Performance Center stage. Austin French at 7:15, at 7:30, Maybe Somebody, Montana Best. Then the Bowser Bash Car Show and Awards are tomorrow night, so there's a car show. The big concert, Colton Dixon will be coming to town. They are expecting a big crowd for that, so you might plan to get here a little early just in case. And then at 9 o'clock, Big Roscoe and the Hammers take to the Indiana Kitchen stage on Clinton Street. Then Sunday, don't forget, there's also the Community Worship Service that starts at 2 o'clock. So come and join us at the Hot Dog Festival. I will be there both days as well. I'll be broadcasting live tonight from 4 o'clock until 6, and then I'll be there tomorrow because I will be working at the booth. And so come out and get your Hot Dog Festival gear. There's t-shirts and some really cool mugs, and they've got all kinds of things for the kids and little grab bags. And so there's so much to do. Come and check it out. It's a Hot Dog Festival.
Yep.
And hot dogs.
And hot dogs, yes.
All different
all
vendors.
All different kinds of
yes,
hot dogs.
Yes, and we actually had some of the vendors submit photos. So there are some really unique hot dog selections that are going to be out there today.
So don't miss out on that. Quick reminder, we still have not heard anything different from Central Dispatch. Eastbound lane on State Road 28 by County Road 800 West is closed due to an accident that they are working out there trying to get it cleaned up. So stay out of the area. Also, big shout out and good luck to all the 4-H tractor driving participants who are going to, from Carroll and Clinton and Boone, all the area counties here are going to Howard County to compete in area for a chance to go to state, and that's Saturday as well.
All right, lots to do this weekend. Come and see us at the Hot Dog Festival. Mel and I are out for the day. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday right here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.